This is WFO Radio.
Okay, we are with the winning crew chief for today's race, and that is Greg Ives. Greg, wild one, wild finishes, wild restarts. Take us through your vantage from the atop the box, please.
Yeah, I mean, starting out the race, we definitely thought we had a good car, a little freeze taking off, but Alex was pretty happy with it. And, you know, we talked about the restarts and how difficult they were going to be, making the right decision rather than the decision in the moment, because that decision kind of hurts you two corners later. So, you know, we struggled with that. I think it was a little learning period for not only Alex but myself on how deep I can get him with pit strategy, how deep I can get him by just pitting, you know, and obviously the pit crew kind of understanding that, you know, clean stops, getting even at one or two spots is going to be so majorly important to getting the restarts. And at the end there, I had a strategy in mind. You never know how it's going to play out. Plans never always work. But, you know, our plan there was to minimize our stop and get enough fuel to make it to the end. And we did that with two right side tires and, you know, about 12 gallons is what we kind of needed. Maybe a little less with cautions there. But and Alex, you know, I think we were lined up fourth on that restart coming to the choose cone, and he elected to take the bottom, or third. I can't remember. It's already pretty blurry for me. But, yeah, he elected to take the bottom. And, you know, that ultimately was a winning move, having Ryan Blaney behind us, getting that push and clearing Kyle Busch off of turn one there. So, yeah, it's definitely an eventful day. We started free, ended a little tight on two tires. You know, honestly, I probably didn't need to touch the car. You know, looking back now and Sunday after the race, quarterbacking it, but in the end, yeah, it lost a lead there to Kyle with three or four to go, and unfortunate for them to have that issue. You know, they've been fast all year. Not only the team everybody's been gunning for, but for us as well, but we want to do it in the right manner, and we raced clean, we raced hard, we have a lot of respect for them. And, you know, never gave up, didn't allow the 18 to get to us and pass us, and ultimately won the race.
Hey, Greg, if you have a question for Greg, please raise your hand. We're going to start over here with Zach, and then we'll go in the middle, and then to Bob.
Zach Catan's ready, kickingthetires.net. Just looking at Lawson's issue, what were you seeing with tire wear throughout the day? I mean, one would assume that he was pushing a little extra hard to get by you guys. Were you able to see any tire wear that may have made that make sense to you?
Yeah, that ultimately that was pretty surprising from the tire standpoint. Goodyear had I think a pretty well handle on the tire, and you know, we didn't see any cracks, didn't see any chips popping out, didn't see any possible wear issues that would expose a potential failure, you know, but it's all about circumstances. You know, I think they pitted under green there, took four tires. Typically we were under some type of caution to be able to build air pressure up, and you know, ultimately you know, that left front didn't hold on. But you know, I don't think it's any fault of the team's Goodyear or whatnot. I think it's just sometimes circumstances.
You're also now joined by the general manager of Hendrick Motorsports, and that's Jeff Andrews. A quick note on Hendrick. This is their sixth straight points win, seven if you count the All-Star race. That stretch started at Dover with the 48 team and Alex Bowman. So congratulations, guys, on extending that streak. We'll continue with questions, and we'll go right here.
Shane Hecht at WBGR Sports. What did you tell Alex, when Kyle was really, really pushing him really hard? What did you tell him to try to kind of hold Kyle off?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, I was giving him a little pointers through SMT on, you know, his driving style probably earlier in the race. You know, it's kind of hard to know. You know, it's kind of hard in the moment when you're really focused on holding off Kyle, you know, to give him the pointers then. But, you know, I give credit to Kevin Hamlin, our spotter, and, you know, allowing Alex to feel comfortable with what he was doing, maybe not trying to exp- you know, Kyle had, was really good through one and two, and or one and two, turn one, and was able to close up and get a run. And, you know, Kevin did a good job of maybe having Alex move down a half a lane, take a little bit of air away from Kyle, and you know, eventually get maybe a little tight off and hurt that run. But, you know, maybe Kyle slowed up a little bit, saved his tires, and he definitely roared an attack on us and got by us. So, you know, mainly in those times, you try to stay silent. You try to allow the spotter to have the radio, allow him to keep the driver focused. And, you know, off of through the tunnel turn, I can't exactly remember when, you know, Alex was kind of apologizing for getting a little too tight there at the end, maybe burning the fronts off. And, you know, I came on channel two to tell Kevin, hey, the five's having an issue. And Kevin definitely relayed that to him. And it was very important to stay in the game and hold off the 18. So, like I said, unfortunate for the five team to have their issue. I'm happy that we were able to capitalize, but I know we got some work to beat them tomorrow.
Bob?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. For Jeff, Kyle thought he ran over something. I'm not sure if you've gotten to look at the tire, but was it an issue? Do you know if he cut the tire rather than it being something as far as wear?
Yeah, we haven't seen anything yet, Bob. It just now we're getting the left front off the car to get it to Goodyear and get a good look at it. Certainly hadn't seen anything of concern throughout the race that you know, led us to a wear-related type failure. So we'll let Goodyear take a look at it, and we'll get with them and see what they see.
And is there any kind of feeling of vindication? There's a lot of chatter in the garage this week. Oh, they made Hendrick do this, or they made Hendrick do that after Nashville to the cars. I know that is not rare when a team is on a streak that there's some chatter. So I'm curious if you kind of feel any sort of vindication of, like, you know, whatever we did or didn't have to do, that we're still fast.
I don't know about vindication or if we feel vindication. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been a race team before that's been in this position, and we've been chasing several organizations before ourselves. So, you know, we certainly understand, you know, what it feels like. And hey, there were some great race cars out there today. I think you definitely saw gains in the JGR cars, you know, this week. And we'll keep pushing. NASCAR and Jay Fabian, they do a great job regulating this sport and keeping things in line. And, you know, any time that they talk to you or want you to address something on your race cars, then we go back and address that.
Next, we'll go to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com for Greg. All of Alex's wins this season have come kind of late in the race, taking advantage of circumstances. In a season where some of your top competitors are also your teammates, and you kind of touched on this a minute ago, how important is it to remain, for your guys to remain focused that you might always be in the game regardless of the circumstances?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, somewhat of the metrics kind of get us to in that position. You know, we're 11th or 12th in points and kind of hover around that 10th to 12th place starting position, and trying to not make excuses for it because we need to definitely do better with our cars. But, you know, I feel like that gets us a tick behind, and, you know, we just got to continue to march forward. And, you know, I pride ourselves on you know, on being a team that never really gives up, whether it's pit road, strategy, in the race car, on restarts. And that's what it takes to, you know, that's when you're the most vulnerable, I guess. You know, when the chips are down a little bit, and you know, you gotta stay after it, and you gotta stay motivated and focused. You know, coming off of Nashville, you know, it was a struggle for us, and rather upset about our performance there. And you know, somebody told me this week that, you know, you just gotta continue to build comfort in knowing that we have a solid team, and that we're capable of coming back from anything. And definitely saw that today with maybe some varying strategies, and knowing that, you know, the vision at the end of the race was to put us up front or towards the front, and we were able to accomplish that. Alex was able to make a decision on that choose cone to say, hey, you know, it's either winner or we're going back to 10th. You know, if he didn't clear him, you know, it was going to be a really sad day. So Ultimately, just keep marching forward. Number one thing I say is focus forward. And you know, if you look back at, you know, even this win, if we look back and cherish this win too long, you know, tomorrow's going to be a little early wake-up call that we got to get after it and starting 20th.
Go to Dustin next.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Greg, couple questions. One, you know, I know right there on the last lap, Alex was on the radio apologizing before the race is over. Do you have to talk to him about that? Say anything about that, or is that just going to be more about good-natured or ribbing with the way this race finished?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love the fact that somebody can come on the radio and tell us what they're feeling, you know, and in that moment, you know, as any person would be, whether, you know, when you're leading the race towards the end of it, you put it on your shoulders, and you know, our team is looking at him to make it happen, and ultimately, you know, there's probably some circumstances that could have led to a better race car on my side, and, you know, that's what I stay focused on, but, you know, as far as Alex goes, you know, he's going to wear, I want him to wear his emotion on his sleeve sometimes, and if he was sorry coming off of the tunnel turn that he didn't make adjustments in the car to hold off Kyle, then that's fine. But we have to definitely learn from it because we could be in that situation tomorrow. We come down to five to go. I hope he's thinking and understanding what he needs to adjust to not only hold off Kyle, but another faster car, maybe with better tires, maybe even handling a little bit better. So we'll definitely talk about it, not so much about the motion, but about the learning that we need to do to continue to be better, and especially in a closing laps and holding on to the lead and getting that ultimate win.
And also just certainly we saw the drive at the end of this race with the duel and holding off Kyle. You know, we saw it at Richmond with the late charge and this determined drive by him. What are things that you're seeing out of him, maybe late race situations, and what's he learning? What are you guys learning as you move forward together that can be helpful later in the season, maybe even potentially in the playoffs?
Yeah, ultimately, I feel like confidence. I think anybody in here, when they have confidence in those situations, are going to perform at a higher level. So, you know, I think he's coming into his own. You know, I feel like his two wins that probably not our best racetracks, Richmond, well, Dover, I would say we run pretty well there, but you know, it gives him a lot of confidence to say, you know, hey, you know, give me the reins, because I'm gonna take care of this right here. So you know, you don't do that in the last 15 laps. You do that you know, how you work, how you prepare, how you you know, get ready for each and every race. And, you know, ultimately after this race, you know, they're spraying champagne and he's like, I gotta hydrate and get ready for tomorrow, you know, and in the end, you know, that's the mentality you have to stay on top and to be able to make the right decisions in those tough circumstances. And he was able to make it. You know, you're never sure how it's going to work out, but if you don't give yourself the chance to win, you're never going to.
And we'll wrap it up. Oh, we got a couple more. Go to Bob and then wrap it up with Kyle.
Yeah, for Jeff, how different will Jeff, do you know, will there be much difference with Jeff Gordon in his new role starting next year?
Bob, I'm not certain about a difference, but certainly, you know, any time that you bring someone of that caliber, you know, further up in your organization, you know, we're really, really excited to have Jeff in that role. We look forward to, you know, his contributions to our company. I think, you know, we've already seen a lot of things. He's been involved in some of those things behind the scenes that, you know, when he wasn't working in his television job there. But, you know, for him to come to us now in that full-time role, he's planning on being here tomorrow with us, and you know, he's to have watched him, been fortunate enough to have been with him through his career at Hendrick Motorsports and watched him transition, you know, from a driver to getting more involved in the ownership and leadership role now. It's been an honor, and I think all of us at Hendrick, from the drivers and crew chiefs on down to all the employees, are super excited about what that means about our future.
Yeah, I can add on to that. And, you know, this week, you know, like I said, 48 car had a tough Nashville, right? And the greatest thing was Jeff gave me time to talk. Like, he's been through a lot of situations that involved winning and then involved tough days, right? And he was able to give me 20 minutes of his time and give me advice, and not only advice, but also how to maybe look at some different situations in the future because he's experienced it. So, you know, I think it's a huge impact for Hendrick Motorsports to have that guy that has accomplished so much, but also has had a long career. And in a long career, you don't always have, every day is not a success, and you got to work through struggles, and those struggles make you better.
Obviously, Alex is here, but before we take any questions for him, we'll wrap it up with Kyle and let these gentlemen go. Got it, Kyle. I'm sorry?
For Alex.
Oh, it's for Alex? Okay. Well, Greg, Jeff, thank you for your time. Congratulations on this win.
Good job, buddy. Nice work.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. How are you?
I'm a little wet, yeah. Yeah, I think I got the whole champagne bottle down my
shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And I helped you open it.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to open it.
I'll do it again, too.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm okay with it.
All right. We are now with our race-winning driver, and that's Alex Bowman, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet. We'll go right to questions, and we'll start with Kyle.
Kyle Magda, Rally Maglite Racing Media. Alex, when the five passed you with four laps to go, where on the track were you beating him, and where was he beating you?
I thought I could do an okay job of taking his air through two and three, but I was plowing tight through turn one, and we were on two tires there. I was free most of the day, so we had tightened the car up and then put two tires on, and I just burned the front tires off of it trying to stay in front of him. So, I was okay for a bit, then the fronts fell off a lot. Grill screen folded in, so I don't know if that kind of played a hand in it as well, but as soon as he got beside me, I knew with clean air he was going to be able to drive away from us pretty big. So just did all I could to try to keep him behind us as long as I could.
Next we'll go to Zach.
Zach Sterniola with Front Stretch. You've won basically all three of these races on late race situations, specifically here and Richmond, really capitalizing on clean air and late restarts. Is there anything that you feel like you're doing late in those moments, or that you're learning how to manage those situations that's gotten you these wins?
I wish there was something that I was like, yeah, I'm doing this, but I think it's all pretty situational. You know, we were really strong on that short run to end Richmond. Here, I just got a hell of a push from the 12 to be able to clear the 18. Hendrick horsepower, doesn't hurt by any means, you know, and obviously got pretty lucky there with Kyle's misfortune. So, I feel like we've always been a team that ends the day better than we started the day. We've never been that like win stages type of team, but we've won our share of races here lately. So, I don't know exactly what it is, but, glad it's working out lately.
Alex, Shane Hector from WBGR Sports. I just asked you a crew treat, so I'm going to ask you. So how did you adjust to what Kyle's doing to try to hold him off, especially with him tapping you a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, the cup cars are super aero-dependent. You know, if you don't have a car in front of you, your car makes way more downforce than if you have a car right in front of you. So just tried to take as much air away from him as I possibly could. A lot of time looking in the mirror, seeing where he's running and trying to run similar lines to him to take the air away, to keep him behind us. And it quite honestly worked quite a bit longer than I thought it was going to work, but obviously didn't work all the way to the end. Just kind of got lucky there that last lap.
Bob?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. You were apologizing on the radio during that last lap. I'm curious, have you ever gone from that kind of disappointed,
no,
that down to that high in half a lap?
Yeah, it was like 100 feet. Like, I keyed up, and I was like, I'm sorry, he's blown a tire. Like, I don't really know what to think. This is the strangest win I've ever been a part of. Like, I thought I was running second, which was still going to be a good day for us with kind of how we struggled throughout the course of the day. But then he blows a tire and we win. Can't do a burnout because I got to race the car tomorrow. I typically stand on the roof of the car. Can't do that because I got to race the car tomorrow. I typically drink all the beers. Can't do that because I got to race a car tomorrow. I have to be way more responsible than I really want to be right now. So it's definitely been a unique win. But, yeah, I've never been in a situation like that. I was literally keyed up apologizing for burning the front tires off the thing and saw his crush panel fly out and him have a flat. So, yeah, I can't believe it.
Did you see whether he cut something? Did you tell?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he ran something over or what the situation was. So I saw, you know, sparks, tire come apart, crush panel exit the race car because the tire came apart. Kind of normal flat tire situation.
We'll go to Dan next.
Dan Gelson, AP. Alex, what really, I mean, cars, talent, but what's been the key to this Hendrick run? That you've had three drivers win all these races, and I guess what's it like, you know, around the shop, around the garage, to be part of this kind of winning streak?
Yeah, the morale is obviously super high at Hendrick Motorsports, and it's really cool to see it that way. I think you know, there's not one thing; it's each and every individual at Hendrick Motorsports, from top to bottom in every department. It's everybody at Chevrolet. You know. Our engines are strong, bodies are great, chassis are great. Guys putting them together are doing a great job. Having Chad in a new role is really good. And Mr. H and Jeff and everybody are giving us all the tools that we need to put the parts and pieces together to go win races. So, yeah, it's not one thing. It's a culmination of everybody's hard work. And it's cool to be a part of it and be the guy that gets to drive them.
Next, we'll go to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. You over the course of your career, you've had at times lamented your bad luck, the circumstances.
I don't know what to say about today.
But just in general, this season, how does it feel to be on the other side? You've probably seen other drivers when they say, man, you can do anything. He just falls into wins or whatever. But to have that feeling of coming out on the other side and enjoying it the opposite way, how does it feel?
Yeah, it feels pretty freaking good. I don't really know what to think. You know, Richmond, when that caution came out, I was kind of bummed because I thought we were going to struggle on the short run like we had most of that day. And then we came away with a win from it. Here, I'm like apologizing to my guys and we come out with a win. So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty interesting to be on the other side of it. I'll take it. I've had my fair share of bad luck over the course of my career, hence the whole bad luck Bowman thing. So, yeah, maybe that's all behind me, and it was just in preparation for this great luck that we have right now. But, yeah, I'll take it.
Go over here.
Keith Groller from the Allentown Morning Call. Alex, you alluded to it out there being interviewed by NBC, how cool it was to see these fans back again. While your celebration has to be muted because of another race tomorrow, you certainly enjoyed that moment. And could you feel the excitement and the people really embracing this win and how great it was to be back out there in front of all those people again?
Yeah, it's really neat. I think, you know, Pennsylvania race fans in general are some of the best in the world. And whether it's sprint car racing or cup racing or whatever the situation is, PA fans are pretty dang awesome. So, to see a packed grandstands, packed infield. I went for a run through the infield today, and aside from everybody yelling William Byron at me because they had us mixed up, it's pretty normal for Pocono. I don't know why Pocono people think I'm William, but I guess I'm a little insulted because I feel like I'm way better looking than him. But PA fans are pretty awesome, and it's cool to see a packed house.
We'll go to Dustin, then Chris, then back to Shane.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple questions. Certainly, you know, it's quite a duel here today, and you really, you know, held Kyle off for a long time in a very determined drive. You know, we certainly saw that out of Richmond at the end, a very determined drive out of you. Greg talked about confidence. I think it's fair to say, you know, in dealing with you at times, you know, confidence is up and down, it can be. What does it mean to kind of have these type of performances at end of races, kind of in-game scenarios? What does it do for you? I know until the tire blew, it didn't work out, but what does it mean for you from that standpoint?
Yeah, that's plenty fair to say. It's pretty hard to be confident coming off of running 15th to 20th all day at Nashville, right? But, you know, I think the guys have done a really good job of giving me really fast race cars all year. And really, when you look at how we're running as an organization, it's hard to not be confident going into the racetrack. You know, these couple races that we've won on late race restarts and holding off some really fast race cars, it definitely gives me confidence. You know, getting the lead from a guy like Kyle Busch on a late restart is not easy to do, and definitely gives me confidence going forward.
And also, Greg was also asked about this, was we obviously the announcement about Jeff Gordon and the role this week. Certainly he's played an important role with the organization previously. But Greg noted that, you know, Jeff spent some time with him this week and has kind of helped him out. Didn't know how much, you know, you consulted with Jeff or in what ways Jeff has helped, or if it's even been any time recently, any conversations with him.
Yeah, we had, I don't remember if it was the beginning of last year, or I guess it was probably there were some really impactful conversations from me midway through last year, kind of through our summer struggles a little bit. And then, you know, early in 19 as well. So, Jeff is super helpful and he gets it from an organizational side. He gets it from a race car driver side. So that's been really cool. I don't think I talked to him at all this week aside from, I think he was at the meeting. Lots going on this week. I can't remember, but, you know, I got to fly home from Raceway Park in Indianapolis, I guess 2 weeks ago with him now. And that was really cool, to fly home with him and his parents and kind of share old open wheel racing stories. So it's been really cool to kind of build that relationship with Jeff. You know, when I first started driving the 88 and kind of sharing it with him, I didn't really know Jeff. And that probably out of everybody at Hendrick Motorsports, just with him having to wear so many different hats and having so much going on, like that relationship probably took the longest to build. But it's really cool to get to lean on somebody with so much knowledge in so many different areas and have his help and advice.
Go to Chris.
ChrisNagetsons.com. Alex, you know, obviously you ended up with victory today, but how do you feel about tomorrow? And what do you got to do to, if Larson's as fast as it was today, to beat him again tomorrow?
You know, we got to turn a little better at the end of the race. You know, I think that was our biggest problem there, was just being a little tight off. But starting 20th is going to be super difficult here. We'll have a good pit stall, so that'll be good. But, you know, we know we're going to have a fast Ally Camaro. We know we're going to have good pit stops, good strategy. I think Greg's strategy was pretty on point today. So, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to go try to beat that 5 car again.
Go back to Shane.
Alex, I got a question for you. So do you feel like going into tomorrow's race and then your confidence that you have right now, do you believe that, you know, wear and tear and fatigue is going to play a huge factor into how successful you're going to try to beat it tomorrow?
Somewhat. You know, I feel like these cup cars have come a long way. If you try to do a doubleheader 20 years ago, nobody's stuff would have made it, right? But everybody seemed pretty successful with it. Last year, I put my guys in some terrible situations. I'm not sure there was a doubleheader that we didn't go to a backup last year. So happy that this is a little better situation for them. And there's not much damage on that thing to repair and start over with. So, I mean, I think in what we do, if it was 100 degrees here today, you know, driver fatigue and pit crew fatigue might be a little different, but it was a nice day. Not too hot, you know, a little bit of a shorter race. So I think everything will kind of be business as usual tomorrow.
We'll take one more. We'll go with Zach.
Did you feel like you learned enough about your car and traffic? Obviously, you're going to be starting 20th tomorrow with this invert. So what kind of adjustments do you feel like you're going to need to make, if any, in for traffic?
Yeah, we ran like 12th all day. So I feel like we were in traffic almost all day, and kind of took to the end for me to be able to kind of really drive the car how it is in clean air. And, you know, it's a huge difference in how the race car drives. So, yeah, I've got a pretty good idea of what it's going to do in traffic. I experienced it all day, and it's only going to be tougher tomorrow.
I take it back. One more, we'll go with Bob and wrap it there.
If you're in the same position tomorrow on that final restart, do you still pick the front row? And were you surprised that Larson maybe didn't pick the front row to get a push from you?
I was really surprised he didn't pick the front row. I was just surprised somebody didn't, right? We were fourth, so somebody could have restarted second, and instead they restarted fourth and sixth. So I was pretty surprised that nobody took the bottom. But hell, I'll take it. Thanks to Blaney for the push. You know, he pushed me all the way to the center of one, never tried to get out of line, never tried to do anything, and ultimately got us out front. So, big thank you to him. Much appreciated. But yeah, I was pretty surprised. Obviously I would do it over the same way I did.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Congratulations, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
This is WFO Radio.
Bye, bye, bye.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.